This is Bob Williamson. No work, no pay. I attended a conference this week, and David Green, owner of Hobby Lobby, was the keynote speaker. He founded and runs a $4 billion-plus company and has dedicated it to the Lord. In fact, he has put 90% of all of its assets into a charitable trust with the National Christian Foundation. All of the money is devoted to preaching the gospel, discipling the nations, and establishing God's kingdom on earth. His concept of the purpose of his company is that it is similar to a tree, and the money derived from it is the fruit from the tree. His philosophy is that the tree should be left intact, and only the fruit should be taken from it. As to the 20-some-odd family members that would ordinarily be heirs to the family fortune, his model is that if they work, they are allowed to eat of the tree's fruit. If not, they receive none of its fruit. Those family members who choose to work at Hobby Lobby receive comparable pay for the jobs that they perform. If they work in the mailroom, they make less than if they work in the executive offices. No one is given lavish salaries, and though the company is a multi-billion dollar entity, this godly family lives modestly. David sincerely believes in the concept of no work, no pay. I found it interesting that he said one of the hardest things in life is to know that you could easily do something for someone and not do it in order to teach them life's lessons. He used the example of not buying his own children automobiles when they were growing up, and instead telling them that if they wanted a car, they'd have to work to save money and buy their own vehicles. On the surface, that sounds harsh, but what valuable lessons they have learned. Many wealthy families shower their kids with every material thing their hearts desire. And unfortunately, many end up following the polo circuit, putting cocaine up their noses, pausing only to dash down some fine whiskey and to hug the six kittens hanging on each arm. David's kids and grandkids aren't into those endeavors. They are busily funding and managing a major dose of ministry efforts all over the world. As further evidence of the power of raising kids in a Bible-based manner, all of the children and grandchildren signed documents indicating that they agreed to put all of what would ordinarily be their inheritance into an irrevocable trust. In essence, it assures them that they will never be able to touch the money, and it will be used solely for the glorification of God's names and to execute His great commission and establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Imagine a millennial giving up billions in order to serve God. I spoke to David Green's family, Barbara, at length, and she is the prayer warrior of the clan. I asked her if she was affiliated with any organized prayer efforts, and she smiled and said no, that she was on her own. I've invited her to join our Jesus Alliance prayer group, if she so desired, and that she might find it fun to pray with so many others with a similar calling. This morning, I'm meeting with the CEO of FCCI, the Fellowship of Christian Companies International. This man was a former executive with Coca-Cola and ran a $69 billion operation. He doesn't make near what he made at Coke in hard currency, but he is building an empire in heaven and being blessed immeasurably by God in many ways. He gets it. Their conference is over this morning. It's ending with robust prayer. They have learned the value of prayer and have over 5,000 intercessory prayer warriors on their team who pray for their organization and its leaders and for the transformation of the world in these difficult days. I will join them for a while before heading to the airport to fly to Raleigh-Durham for more meetings with spirit-filled leaders, including the head of a Baptist seminary and then on to do a major radio show. I wish all of you could be with me as I traverse around the country and meet successful business owners and their families and other faith-based organization leaders. These folks flourish and are blessed beyond measure by being obedient to God and putting Him first in their lives. In this time of hearing a daily dose of bad news, it is refreshing to see the successes of those who dedicate their lives and fortunes to God and put Him above everything else. I urge you to put God above all else in your life and surrender to Him. It begins with your most valuable resources, your time and your wallet. True believers know that they cannot outgive God in either category, and He will bless us eternally for our faith with riches that we cannot fathom. It takes faith to look into eternity, and we must have faith in the promises of God. David Green believes that if you don't work, you should not be paid. Does God view it similarly? The Apostle Paul stated in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat." Many say they have faith in God. We are told in Hebrews 11:6, "And it is impossible to please God without faith." I think it's a fair assumption that if we do not please God, we will not be blessed. And this verse tells us that we cannot please Him unless we have faith. God has a litmus test for faith. How do you stack up? Are you doing the bare minimum or worse, practically nothing for the Lord? How can you expect to be blessed with so little faith? James 2:18. Now someone may argue some people have faith. Others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. This is Bob Williamson. Thanks for listening.